not say working one? And the queen, Marie Antoinette, she hosts fancy parties all week. She dolls herself up in expensive makeup. Her wardrobe alone is enough to bankrupt France. There are two reasons I started my sermon this way. First, because I'm interested in starting a cult, and I wanted to see if I could pull it off. Second, so Keith would never call me back again. No. The second reason is because in France, in 1789, the streets were full of people standing up, just like I just was, making speeches like the one I just gave. These street preachers were angry. For years, King Louis and Marie Antoinette had been losing the trust of their people. For years, the poor had been getting poorer, while the rich, the landowners, and the church had been getting richer.
And my voice getting tired. For years, For years, whispers of democracy and rule by the people for the people had been spreading. The democratic virtues of the modern age were growing. People were no longer content to be ruled by a king. No one wanted to serve an evil master. And these speeches, they worked eventually. In 1789, crowds began to collect. The people pressed forward and gathered at the Bastille. Now, the Bastille was a prison fort in France. It was a symbol of oppression, a symbol of the dictatorship. And the people were finally ready to do something about it. A people's army of farmers, factory workers, house cleaners, cooks, and chimney sweepers stormed the Bastille. Brick by brick, they tore the place apart until there was nothing left. Paris was on fire. You could see it for miles. Freedom, equality, fraternity echoed through the clouds. Then they went after the Catholic Church. The angry mob tore down crosses, destroyed monasteries, and they burned churches. They ripped nuns from their homes and spanked them publicly in the marketplace. They outlawed the Christian calendar and replaced it with a secular one. Freedom, equality, fraternity. The church, with all its power and rules, it rules over the people. It makes all these rules you've got to follow. It tells you how to live your life. Don't do this, don't do that. Give us money, say your prayers, be a good girl, be a good boy, or you'll go to hell. Religion robs you of your freedom, they said. Christianity takes away your choice. The Pope is a spiritual dictator. God is the biggest dictator of all. And no one wants to serve an evil master. But off in the Palace of Versailles, the parties continued as normal. King Louis was off hunting in his woods, doing kingly things, and he didn't even know that this had begun. And he finally returned home after a long day partying and hunting. And his aide came to him and said, "My master!" And he explained the whole thing and what was going on. And the king said, "Oh, is it a riot then?" And the aide said, "No, sire. It is a revolution." Soon, thousands of women marched on the Palace of Versailles, demanding bread for their children. The price of bread was skyrocketing, and the poor were starving to death while King Louis feasted. And when the queen heard what was happening, she said, "Let them eat cake." Historians doubt if she really said it, but a myth can be as powerful as reality sometimes. Thousands of angry women stormed the Palace of Versailles. They cut off the heads of the palace guard and stuck them on a pike, waving it around as a flag of freedom. They ran through the palace, searching for Marie Antoinette, shouting, "We want her head, we want her arms, we want her legs." But for all their threats, the mob didn't kill the king and queen that day. No, they had something special saved for the lovely couple. The guillotine. The guillotine. You see, with an axe, if you don't get the right angle with an axe, it can take several chops before the head comes off. It's not very humane. But the guillotine was more precise and scientific. One slice of the blade down and you're dead. The guillotine was a quick, convenient, polite way to detach someone's head from their body. So the revolutionaries, they took King Louis to a guillotine. Then the former head of France placed his soon-to-be former head into the guillotine. Mothers covered their children's eyes. Mothers, cover your children's eyes. The crowd took a deep breath. The world stopped to watch how a king dies. The razor slid down and did what it did best. Freedom, equality, fraternity. The crowd cheered, the cannons fired, and King Louis was no more. The slaves killed their master. The people made a Pez dispenser out of their king. France was finally free. No one wants to serve an evil master. After the French Revolution, freedom becomes the ideology of the modern age. Freedom. There should be democracy. We should be able to vote and elect the government for ourselves, not be ruled by kings. Freedom, equality, fraternity. Soon, people began to campaign to end slavery in France and England and America. All men should be free. Freedom, equality, fraternity. Then soon, the women started to get in on it too, and eventually they had the right to vote. Freedom, equality, fraternity. Then slowly over time, that transitioned to, you don't have to do what your parents tell you to do. You're your own person. You have rights, and you can pursue whatever career or spouse or future you want. You don't have to do what your boss tells you. You have rights. You can form a union. You can dress how you want, smoke whatever you want, go wherever you want, do whatever you want, be whoever you want, and no one can judge you. No one can tell you what to do. It's a free country. Whether it's kings or governments or culture or the church or peer pressure or parents or bosses, no one wants to serve an evil master, went the ideology of the modern age. Freedom becomes the main argument behind the sexual revolution. It's my body. I'm free to sleep with whoever I want, the argument went. It's our party, we can do what we want, we can love who we want, we can love who we won't stop. Anybody? Half of you are like, what is he doing? Freedom is also the argument behind the pro-gay movement. The argument is people should be free to love whoever they want. Freedom. Equality, fraternity, this evolves into the transgender movement. You can biologically be born a girl or a guy, but you have the freedom to change that. Freedom trumps biology. Freedom also becomes the main argument for abortion. Women should have the freedom to choose what to do with their bodies. That's why it's called pro-choice, the emphasis on choosing. Jimi Hendrix once said, I'm the one who's going to have to die when it's time for me to die. So let me live my life the way I want to. He said it just like that. You don't need to serve someone else or obey someone else's rules. Serve yourself. Make your own rules. Be your own master. Be your own king. Be your own God. Freedom, equality, fraternity. Be true to yourself, follow your heart, obey no master other than yourself, be the captain of your own soul, create your own destiny, decide your own fate, be free from the constraints of culture, peer pressure, popes, religion, and governments. No one wants to serve an evil master. So now, here we are in 2016. We've killed kings, freed the people in our minds. We've stepped out off the cliff and dared to leap for freedom, dared to serve no one but ourselves. Yet the cruelest master of all is yourself. You can be a slave to your own fear. You can be a slave to your own insecurity. You can be a slave to your appearance, constantly needing to impress, slaving away for hours in front of a mirror, branding your faces with makeup. You can be a slave to your laziness. You want to work hard, but you can't bring yourself to do it. You can be a slave for your desire for money, chasing after it and following its orders. You can become a slave to work. You know family and other things are more important, but you just can't stop. You can become a slave to your dreams and fantasies and desires. You can become a slave to the need to succeed and silence that voice from your childhood that said you're no good. You can be a slave to your baggage, living not in the moment, but haunted and dictated by your past. You can be a slave to your passions, unable to stop. You can be a slave to your sexuality, a slave to your whims, a slave to your anger, unable to stop yourself. You can be a slave to your habits and addictions. You know it's hurting yourself and everyone around you, but you can't seem to be able to stop yourself. If you don't serve anything higher than yourself, you end up becoming a slave to yourself. And no one wants to serve an evil master. It's interesting. Do you know what happened once the revolutionaries gained their freedom in the French Revolution? They went on to become far worse than King Louis ever was. The revolution starts guillotining anyone who stands in its way. In fact, historians now call the revolution the Reign of Terror. Within 2 years, the revolutionaries kill 40,000 men, women, and children. Freedom, equality, fraternity. The revolution had freed humanity from kings and queens, but the revolution hadn't freed us from humanity itself. The revolutionaries had killed their master, but they were still slaves to their own urges and greed and desire for power. They were still slaves to themselves. And no one wants to serve an evil master. After the French Revolution, culture begins to define freedom as doing whatever you want. Freedom is freedom from kings, freedom from government, from cultural norms and expectations, freedom to do whatever you want, right? He's nodding. I appreciate it. But that's not how we've always defined freedom. In fact, freedom used to be defined as the exact opposite. Today we say freedom is the ability to do whatever you want. But in the past, we used to say that freedom is the ability to not do just whatever you want. Our urges and whims and desires drive us to do all sorts of things that we later regret. The person who indulges their desires, who does whatever they feel like, whenever they feel like, is not free, but a slave, driven to and fro by their own urges and issues and baggage. In John 8, Jesus himself says, you can be, quote, a slave to sin. You think you're free because you can chase after your whims and desires and wants, but true freedom is the ability not to give in to your whims and desires and wants for the sake of something higher than yourself. Because see, everything in life that's worth doing requires you to give up some of your freedom for it. If you want to be a top athlete, you don't have the freedom to stay up till 3 a.m. drinking and eating whatever you want whenever you feel like it. If you want to be in love and be in a relationship with someone, then you're no longer free to make all your decisions on your own. You can't always get what you want. Relationships are give and take, and you're no longer free to just go out and sleep with whoever you want. To love someone is to give up some of your freedom for them. If you want to be a good person, you have to give up your freedom to do cruel, manipulative stuff. Those aren't options anymore. If you want to believe in anything, whether it's karma, atheism, Confucianism, socialism, or just believing in love, if you want to believe in anything, you have to be willing to give up some of your freedom to live in a way that is consistent with that belief. Everything meaningful requires you to give up some of your freedom for it. The only way you can be totally free is to believe in nothing, accomplish nothing, and love no one. Meaning is the cost of absolute freedom. But if you're willing to give up some of your freedom, in return, you receive this whole other kind of freedom. The freedom to love. The freedom to believe in something higher than yourself. The freedom to serve something greater than yourself. True freedom is not just giving in to your whims and urges and wants. Rather, true freedom is the ability not to give in to your whims and urges and wants for the sake of something higher than yourself. Many of us think we're free, think we're liberated modern people, but we're not. By giving into the freedom to do whatever we want, we become slaves to ourselves and no longer have the freedom to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. We're not free to live meaningful lives because we're too busy demanding the freedom to do whatever we feel like at that particular moment. We're not free to do great things because we're enslaved to our laziness, enslaved to Netflix or the computer, enslaved to our fear of failure. We're not free to be happy because we're enslaved to our need for more success, more approval, more. We're not free to love because we're so enslaved to our selfishness or stubbornness. We're not free to have good relationships because we're so enslaved by insecurity or sexual urges and fantasies. We're not free to serve God because we're too busy serving ourselves. It's my life. Let me do what I want. We've been raised after the French Revolution. We've been raised in the modern world where freedom is about doing whatever you want. So when it comes to religion, when it comes to this great big building with the bright, beautiful glass, a lot of us aren't that comfortable in here. Because religion says that you can't just do whatever you want. In fact, in the Bible, in Psalm 16, it says, God is my master. And the first time I heard that, something within me cried, freedom, equality, fraternity, break off the shackles and run free naked in the streets. I don't care what you think. Anyone? God is my master? Does he want me to worship him like a dog at the shrine of his lies? Quote, is God just like those kings and queens of old? No one wants to serve an evil master. And I'll admit it, religion has rules. Duh. Rules about life, rules about work, about sin, love, family, sex, good, evil, right, wrong. Yes, being a Christian means you're not just free to do whatever you want. Yes, God wants you to give up some of your freedom for him. But in return, you get an even better kind of freedom. God wants to free you from your insecurity. God wants to free you from the sinful urges that shackle you, to untie you from the shackles of your laziness, apathy, anger, or lust. God wants you to follow his rules so that you can learn to tame your urges, and eventually you can control them instead of your urges controlling you. God wants you to discipline yourself and not just do whatever you want, so one day you will be free to love well, free to live well, free to do meaningful things that are greater than yourself. God promises that if you give your life to him, his spirit will enter within you and help guide you to freedom from sin. 2 Corinthians says, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God is calling you to give up one kind of freedom so you can take up a different kind of freedom. God is calling you to have the kind of freedom the French Revolution never even came close to. The revolutionaries may have been free from kings and queens, but they were not free from their sinful urges and lust for power. Their greed enslaved them, and they became the very evil they once rebelled against. God is calling you to the kind of freedom our modern age doesn't even understand. We think we're liberated, open-minded people, but we're still slaves to ourselves. I remember when I was in high school, I thought I was a little revolutionary. I didn't want to follow any of the rules. I cheated on tests. I stole a bunch of stuff. I wrote papers about how we were all so oppressed. I think there's some people here who went to my high school and remember me, so that's sad. Don't ask them any questions. One time, I ordered a pizza to my 10th grade math class. And the pizza guy came to the window and delivered it through the window in the middle of class. I'd tell my teachers to go to hell. One time I slapped a pastor in the face and just ran away for no reason. I was that one kid in the back of class who would never shut up about communism and revolution and my rights, even though I didn't understand what any of those words meant. And I thought I was free, a rebel fighting the system, free from the rules, free from culture and its imposed standards, free from authority, doing whatever I want. But the whole time, I was a slave to myself. I was a slave to my insecurity. I was so insecure. It made me act out and try to be different to get attention and do things I normally wouldn't do. I was a slave to my anger. It caused me to lash out at people who actually cared about me. And I couldn't help it. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't have stopped because I was a slave to it. And when I started to take my faith more seriously, I really struggled. I'm still struggling. I struggled with all the rules, with submitting and not just doing whatever I like. But the more I submitted to God's rules, the more disciplined I became and the more control I had over myself and my actions. By serving God and obeying his commands, somehow I became more free. free to interact with people genuinely and not just out of insecurity and issues and need for attention. Free to do things not out of some inner baggage or issues, but because I actually wanted to. And that's the unique beauty of serving God. Somehow God's rule makes you more free. See, when humans serve other humans as master, it never goes well. Slavery, dictatorship, church abuse, parental abuse. No human should be the absolute master of another because humans are too susceptible to corruption. Even the best of us can't be trusted with absolute power. No one wants to serve an evil master. And I truly believe that no one should have to serve an evil master. But you see, God is not an evil master. God is not an evil master, but rather the kind of master who loves us and wants to free us from ourselves. Humans are too susceptible to greed and power, and so always end up giving in and becoming evil.